So I did get some. My wife's away for a few days. She's at a silent retreat until Thursday. And so she's done this once before, and it's a good spiritual practice. Anyhow, I got some blueberry waffles, you know, kind of the Eggo kind. And speaking of blueberries, July is National Blueberry Month. A dietitian is highlighting the benefits of blueberries. Dr. Julie Zampano with the Cleveland Clinic says blueberries have a rich source of antioxidants, which help protect the body from cell damage and disease.
I always have a bag of frozen blueberries in my freezer. They defrost well. You can throw them in the microwave for a couple minutes and throw them into like an oatmeal or yogurt or a smoothie. So there's so many versatile ways you can use them.
That's a good idea. So, yes, and I know when I said I got the blueberry waffles that, you know, that's not the high nutrition. But, yeah, so the big recommendation from that, the good doctor points out that blueberries are beneficial to the heart and brain and reduce inflammation. So celebrate National Blueberry Month by beginning, like her, to regularly have a bag of frozen blueberries in your freezer. So, yeah, good for the oatmeal and the whole deal. So, all right. All right, we got today in history. Before we get into Bob Goff, sometimes on the weekend I'll check him out. I was looking at him some today. He's just got good thoughts in Live in Grace, Walk in Love. But before we get there, today in history, in 1969.
We copy you down, Eagle.
Yeah, on this day, astronaut Neil Armstrong became the first man to walk on the surface of the moon.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Buzz Aldrin later joined his colleague on the moon's surface. Astronaut Michael Collins piloted the Apollo 11 command ship Columbia on the historic occasion. This is the day in 1973. Martial arts actor Bruce Lee left us way too early, dying of a brain edema in Hong Kong. He was just 32 years old. 1976, Hank Aaron hit his 755th and last home run playing for, you guessed it, the Brewers. Came back and played for the Crew for a couple of years, 75 and 76. And in this day in 1983, ABC News anchor Frank Reynolds died much too young as well at the age of 59. Best known for scolding staff members while on air following the assassination attempt on President Reagan. He was upset after misinforming the nation that Press Secretary James Brady had died in the attack, which, of course, he had not. Okay. Finally, July 20th, Live in Grace, Walk in Love from Bob Goff. Today titled, Darkness Won't Need to Destroy Us If It Can Get Away with Distracting Us. Bob's written a later book on distractions, I think called Distractions. Lamentations 3:22 and 23 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. He writes, the sunrise is hands down my favorite moment of the day. Sweet Maria and I like to wake up while it's still dark outside. When the day is so still, it almost feels fragile. With a sense of peace and expectation, we wait for the light to burst onto the horizon. Goff says, every time I look out the window to catch a sunrise, I wonder why any of us would ever miss it. Here's the reason why we do. I think we miss sunrises because we get carried away in the night. It might be with work or worry or relationships or sometimes addictions. Darkness holds on to our fears throughout the day, too. Dawn waits until there's enough quiet to whisper for us to come back to God. Lies live in the dark, says Goff. Lies about ourselves, people we love, and the God who's crazy about us. And even if the darkness doesn't destroy us, it can keep us distracted long enough to cause us to miss the hope that comes with the sunrise the next morning. Don't miss it. Sometimes the greatest threat darkness poses in our lives isn't necessarily what it does to us. It's that it keeps us away from beauty. And remember, Dostoevsky said, beauty will save the world. Anyhow, good things can distract us from better things, and when they pull us away from the joy of relationships or the hope of our Creator, then they're no longer good things. So, finally, don't be fooled into thinking the darkness is always destructive. Sometimes it's just distracting. Trade in the darkness for a couple of sunrises instead. Hope is always eager to burst onto the scene every single morning, but you need to be there to catch it. Today's question, in what ways have you been distracted by the darkness in the past few days?
Good morning. This is Ron from Hawkins. Over the weekend, we went to the Mardi Gras up by Ladysmith, and then we went to Lac du Flambeau fishing up by Hayward. And today is my birthday, and thank you to WWIB for being such a great, blessed radio station. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ron. Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Thanks for letting us know that. Sorry we didn't get into the birthdays earlier. It was kind of saving your highlight of the weekend. And I see that here. So wanted to play the birthday song for Ron. And I must be misspelling something here. So, all right. Anyhow, we'll get that for him. But in the meantime, we've got another highlight of the weekend.
Morning, Mark. excuse me. This weekend we had a nice video chat with some old friends from high school. That was fun. And got a surprise call that we needed to watch our granddaughter on Sunday. So that was amazing. So we had a good time with that. That was a wonderful day. Thanks.
All right, there you go. Looks like that. We got two highlights of the weekend. What was yours? 715-396-1670, 396-1670. As for Ron and Hawkins blowing out the birthday candles today.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Happy, happy birthday. All of us to you. We wish it was our birthday so we could party too. Happy, happy birthday. And all your dreams come true. We wish it was our birthday.
It's your birthday.
Ron, we're cheering you on today. That's one of the 13 songs you'll find on the Four King and Country. What are we waiting for? It's our musical gift offer during July from Whip Incorporated.
All right, I wanted to kick this off with a little song that about a place that means a lot to me. I know these are troubled economic times, and this is a song about a place that's helped me out a lot. Here we go. Well, never really had a lot of money in the bank. It's hard to pay the mortgage and fill the gas tank. That's why I want to take a little time to thank. Thank God for the dollar store. If you want to buy cheap stuff, you're in luck. Fill up the cart and go dump it in the truck. It's a place that you go if you only got a buck. Thank God for the dollar store. Well, I got baby wipes, got a baby rattle, some gum and a kite and a ping pong paddle, SOS pads and a box of fiddle faddle. Thank God for the dollar store. Y'all know what fiddle faddle is? Okay. It's like a poor man's Cracker Jack. Come on, people. You can buy shampoo and cheap blue jeans, peanut butter crackers, and a can of beans. You can feed a whole family for not a lot of green. You can buy a rake or a garden gnome, dog food, fingernail polish, and a comb. And the toys always break by the time you get them home. That's the truth. Thank God for the dollar store. Well, I got me a knife, I got some popsicles, a ring for my wife, and a big jar of pickles. You'd be amazed what you get for 20 nickels. Thank God. That's a dollar, sir. 20 nickels. Okay. You're homeschooled, weren't you? I knew. I said, you'd be amazed what you gave a 20 nickels. Woo-hoo-hoo! Thank God for the dollar store. All right.
Well, I wish that was true, but there's been some smoke. No smoke ever since WWIV. I was a greeter at church yesterday at Valleybrook, Eau Claire, and downtown. And, you know, so you hold the door open, you're greeting people, and one of the people on safety yesterday was just like, maybe you want to close the door and just open it when each person comes so that smoke doesn't come.
Right.
What was it like in Appleton?
It was hazy. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, and I spent a week up in the Northwoods last week up in Minocqua. Not too bad in the Northwoods. Actually, it was only a day and a half up there. We got very lucky.
Okay.
It must have been the way the winds were shifting.
All right.
Either, you know, to the west or to the east or whatever it was. But in Appleton, I went and saw an old car show yesterday, which actually was a little hazy. But it was, you know, we're just enduring this and looking to God, to the heavens, saying, God, you're teaching us through all of this, right? And
That's
he's
right.
like, yes, I am.
Scott, how about it? What was your highlight of the weekend?
Well, I was back in my home stomping grounds there in Appleton for a couple of days. And actually, the highlight of my weekend was spending time with my 21-year-old daughter, Alex, which was great. She suggested, Dad, before church, let's cruise over to the old car show, which is at Pierce Park, a couple blocks south of our house there. And so we did. It was a little hazy, but through the haze, Mark, I want to show you the picture of one of the featured cars that I saw.
Yeah, wow, what is
this,
that?
This is actually just a replica of a 1936 Bugatti Atlantic car valued at $35 million.
What?
Now, as you see that picture, doesn't it look like it's something that should be in like one of those old movies that was half submarine, half car, like James Bond should pop out of there or something like that? Yeah, that was one of the highlights was seeing some old Model Ts, Model As. I saw a 58 Oldsmobile blue and white that looked very similar. I talked to my dad about this when I got home last night, about a car that he drove when my mom and my dad got married.
Huh.
And it was such a popular car that my dad actually also loaned it to his brother, who got married for his honeymoon because it was such a hot-selling car at the time. So anyway, so my highlight of the weekend was an old car show.
Very good.
You just walk around. You talk to people. You get to know about their passion for these cars. And you look at some of the gadgets and the gizmos inside of some of these cars and the dashboards.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like some of the older cars had like 15 to 20 little knobs, you know, where now we have like one button that you push and that a big screen appears. No, nothing like that in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Yeah, for sure.
There you go.
But my highlight of the weekend, my daughter Grace was in town, and I got to dog sit for her wonderful daughter, dog Rosie, an Aussie doodle, and with our two dogs, so that was busy. My wife headed out on a solitude and silence retreat until Thursday. So I was taking care of the dogs, but then also got a chance to be with Grace and her fiance Travis on Sunday, and so I get to help her out by going to Menards, getting some things that they needed, and enjoying some Cheddarwurst together. So that was good, and a little bit of time with our future granddaughter. That was my highlight of the weekend.
Family time.
Yeah,
I like that.
Family time.
Yeah.
That's associated with American football, but I don't have soccer music, so that's what we're going to go with here, because we're talking about the World Cup champ. We both watched it yesterday. Mm-hmm. Spain over Argentina, 1-0. But what do they win?
A taco?
Their second World Cup.
A deluxe taco with extra cheese?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be funny. For all that hard work, is it just the national pride that they get?
Why not? Why can't it be about pride and for your country?
I mean, one of the players after the game was seen saying, yeah, right.
Where's my burrito?
No, actually. All right, so actually, Spain's victory in the World Cup final against Argentina not only secured a $50 million prize, but also triggered significant tax implications, particularly for players and coaches. Are you with me?
I'm just thinking of that burrito is all I'm thinking of. I'm sorry, Mark.
The tournament's prize pool reached $655 million, with the IRS set to collect taxes on earnings made in the U.S., regardless of the team's nationalities.
Wow, okay.
Woo! Yeah, every participant, from athletes to support staff, faces potential U.S. tax obligations.
Okay.
Prize money is distributed through national football federations, which are tax-exempt, but this does not exempt individual players from taxes on earnings generated in the U.S. Well, one of the reasons I think Giannis was glad to go to the Miami Heat in Florida, right? No income tax there.
Right.
So
he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, right. They say players often need financial experts to navigate the tax landscape, as income can vary dramatically based on performance incentives and sponsorship deals. For instance, Spain benefits from a tax treaty with the U.S., while Argentina doesn't, potentially affecting how much players owe.
Interesting. All I can think of, Mark, is when my wife did many, many theater productions growing up over the years, and she sang one of these songs, Taxes, we're so sick of taxes, never will they leave us. Okay. That's all I can think of this
morning. Did you ever join her on stage?
I did a couple of times, and as you can tell from my singing voice there, I didn't last very long. actually, we did a show, we did Scrooge. We did It's a Wonderful Life, and on a number of shows, they did Godspell. They even wrote a follow-up to Godspell, which was a pretty cool production.
Huh.
And she had me. I did a leapfrog once in the Scrooge in the opening scene, if I remember right. Huh. And I almost leapfrogged off the stage.
Okay,
it was me and another one of the worship pastors at the church at the time. And we just about hurt each other doing that. And she said, that's enough. Get off the stage. You're going to hurt somebody. So.
That takes me back. I think I remember, speaking of Christmas Carol, I remember playing Bob Cratchit.
Okay.
Fifth grade.
Nice.
My theatrical debut.
Hi, this is Julie from Eau Claire. The highlight of my weekend was having a reunion with close to 20 of my favorite people that it was our Luther League reunion from St. John's Lutheran Church. And we also had a singing group. And so one of the gals brought her guitar, and we even drug out some old songs from those early 1970 worship songs. And another highlight of the weekend was not only getting to visit with friends that I haven't seen for probably close to 50 years, but three couples from that were our like youth leaders from that period of time, most of them close to 90, if not already 90 years old, also came. And so it was really delightful to share memories with them as well. So thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Julie. Our third highlight of the morning, as we're asking. What was your highlight of the weekend? 715-396-1670. What was the highlight at the White House, do you think, Scott?
I think a little baby.
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to get that in. That woke you up over there, Mark. J.D. Vance and his wife, Usha Vance, announced the birth of their son, Alec Neil Vance.
Yeah, they announced yesterday, marking the first time in over 150 years that a sitting vice president has welcomed a child while in office.
That is amazing. As in, get the nookie out and all the little toys again. Mm-hmm. I can just see J.D. Vance sitting there reading a book in a rocking chair to this little guy as well.
It's funny you say that. Yeah, Usha Vance actually has this whole her own summer reading challenge
kids
going on. So Alec joins older siblings, Ewan, who is 9. Is that how you say that?
I think so.
Okay. I'm thinking of Ewan McGregor.
And Vivek, 6.
Okay, and Mirabelle, 4.
Yeah. So the last sitting vice president to become a father was Schuller.
I think Skyler.
Is that how you say that?
I think.
Really? Uh-huh. S-C-H is Sky to you?
Look it
okay.
up.
Yeah. Schuyler Colfax in 1870. He was vice president under Ulysses S. Grant.
Yeah. I never heard of Schuyler Colfax.
Me either. Mm. We have now.
I guess I don't know my vice president.
I don't either. So. Yeah. So but that's cool. So big news in the White House. Uh-huh. Another little baby.
Yeah.
I can't help it. I can't help it. I'm not awake yet today. So.
He begins and ends the segment with a baby. CC Winans, rescue us. It's the Whip Wake Up Show on WWIB, where we are family. What was your highlight of the weekend? 396-1670. All right. All morning long, we've been asking for what was your highlight of the weekend, asking you to share it with us at 715-396-1670. Mm-hmm. And we've got a couple more of these, and then we're going to share briefly, because it's too good not to share, the director of the new movie, The Odyssey, something fascinating about him. But first of all, let's share some of this at least.
Good morning, WWIB family. This is Linda Churchwell from Chippewa Falls. My highlight was yesterday. I went to Toma, Wisconsin. My sister-in-law, who is Mary Arnold Crouch. She is almost 90 years old, and I was informed that she had had a mini stroke. And we all prayed for her to get better and well. And I went there, and she was going to actually go home, which was just awesome. Thanks be to God. And she is going to go back today, however, for MRI. But Mary Arnold, as when I first met her, well, she was Mary Brabant then. She was the lady that had introduced me to the Assembly of God Church in Sparta, Wisconsin. And I'll be forever grateful for that. When I was about 15 years old. And Mary also, she worked with the Hmong people when they came to Sparta way back when. And, you know, they absolutely just loved each other so much. And they still come and see her, even, in fact. And she lives way out in towards Warrens in kind of an Amish area territory. But I was so happy to see her and my other sister-in-law and some of my nieces, and it was just a great time. And we spent some time together. We went out to her home, and she has a house out there going towards Warrens, which is just way out in the country, and it's just so so beautiful to be out there and just experience the peace. You know, it's just wonderful. Anyway, that was my highlight, and thank you so much. I hope you have a blessed day.
Thank you, Linda. Appreciate it. And also, we've got this one as well from Faithful Whip listener.
Good morning. This is Beth from Elkmont. Over the weekend, we were able to go up north to our friend's cabin, which we've been going to for over 40 years. Thank you, Lord, for our friends. Being able to spend time with them, and the weather wasn't the greatest with the smoke, but it was wonderful catching up with old friends again.
All right. Thank you so much, mm-hmm. Beth. And finally, we do have a story this morning regarding Christopher Nolan, the director of The Odyssey. Now, I didn't get out and see this. You know, it's a three-hour movie.
Is it?
I'd love to go with my wife, but we have a story about Christopher Nolan, something he doesn't have.
Yeah, he does not have a cell phone.
Huh.
So how does he communicate? Matt Damon shared that Nolan's wife and producing partner Emma Thomas informed him via text to expect a call from Nolan. Matt Damon recounted receiving a call from an unknown number after Thomas gave him the heads up.
Huh.
How can this guy communicate today's modern world without a cell phone?
Yeah, that's
unique. Finds a way to do it.
Huh.
I think that's great.
Yeah. So, again, The Odyssey blew everything else out of the water here at the box office over the weekend. $124.5 million. Moana at 19, and Minions and Monsters and Toy Story 5 at 14.8 million. I've wanted to see Toy Story 5 and haven't got there. Have you?
No. No, I did see Young Washington,
okay,
and I still would encourage people to get out and support that movie. Very well done. It's a great history lesson.
No, I heard some good things.
Yeah.
Our friend Andrea Polnasek, we do a Film Friday. She's going to shoot a Christmas movie in Chippewa between October and December, and yeah, definitely thumbs up on that. Sounded good.